Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Wallet Wisdom, a podcast presented by LMCU. If you are new to the show or have been listening for a while now, Wallet Wisdom is designed to help break down some of banking's more complex and confusing questions. I'm your host, Brett, and I can't wait to dive into today's episode. Well, again, we are super excited to have Brenton here with us. Welcome to Wallet Wisdom.
Thank you.
So we, for listeners, would love to hear a little bit about what you do for LMCU, how long have you been here with the credit union, and just a little bit about you.
Yeah, so my name is Brenton, obviously. I am a market leader for the Medical Mile location on Michigan Street. So I focus a lot on, obviously, management of the branch in general, but I also do a lot of external things with the community, going out and doing community outreach, business outreach. I've been with the credit union for about a little over 5 years now.
Okay. Yeah. We chatted a little bit about this a few episodes ago, that LMCU's kind of been going through a fun transition with how our branches are activating, both in the community as well as in branch. And so, you know, we went from what was once a branch manager model to these market leaders, where you really are getting out into our communities and really being able to network and to really bring our kind of mission even further.
Yeah.
So that's really amazing.
Yeah.
And Medical Mile, for those that are tuning in and aren't from this area, is our branch right in downtown Grand Rapids. And it serves a broad community, as well as those in our medical areas. The hospitals are right around that corner. And so it's a busy branch.
Yes.
And I'm sure you have a lot of foot traffic. And my goodness, it's a busy branch.
Yeah, we keep pretty busy. We get all sorts of different types of individuals coming in, whether it's, as you said, the medical community, people who just live in the area, and then we also have GVSU kind of right down in that area too. So we get to work with a lot of the student population, helping them with their student organizations and stuff like that.
Well, and how fitting, because, you know, for today's episode, we are diving into, you know, really understanding, okay, I'm going to college, right?
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah.
How do I start really thinking about my money?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've got a daughter who's going into college as well this year. And so we've been chatting a lot about what's next and things to kind of be thinking about, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's a laundry list of things from, you know, for some, it may be their first time that they have a job and they're earning some income. So how do I manage my money wisely early on and also be able to still have fun in college, right? But bigger than that, I think it's those big financial loans, the financial loans that are needed, like for student aid and that. And so I think there's a lot of question marks that I know, for me, they didn't tell me a lot of that when I was going into college, right? And so hopefully this can be a great resource for those that are tuning in to just maybe understand a little bit more of how to wrap your mind around those spending.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is honestly just kind of slowing down the process in general too.
Absolutely.
So it's like everyone is going to be, you know, gung-ho about like their next steps when they're going to college and trying to get into those organizations and, you know, ready for the next steps in their life. But a lot of times it's slowing down, determining the process on how you want to actually, you know, start the next few years of your life and what kind of resources you have.
Absolutely. So I guess when thinking about college and for me, budgeting is a huge thing. We've been talking about budgeting for quite some time on the podcast, on some past episodes as well. But I think to get a good picture of your budget going into college, you kind of need to know where your expenses are, what you're expected to be paying. And, you know, when I think about the student loan component, you know, how can our students start wrapping their head around student loans, specifically around how much do I need to consider taking?
Well, and I mean, the biggest thing, I think it's going to be very difficult initially, right, to even wrap your head around loans in general, right? When you're that young, a lot of times you've never even understood the concept.
Right.
And even if someone's explaining that to you, right, a lot of times you're just going to be like looking at it and be like, oh, yeah, I just pay it back at some point. Yeah. And then it's kind of like, to really understand this is like, it's not free money.
Sure.
It's going to feel like free money.
Right.
And that's going to probably take more than just one conversation.
Yeah.
No especially kidding. When you're that young.
So I guess how can students think about their student aid, their financial aid, in a way of a broader financial plan rather than just a means to, say, pay for a semester?
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest thing is first starting out and determining, well, where am I going to get the finances to be able to pay that back, whether that's now or in the future.
Sure.
So determining what your plan is once you're going into college. Are you planning on, you know, working? Are you going to work part-time? Are you going to work full-time? Do you have any help from your parents?
Sure.
You know, how much of it do you have to pay? If you have to pay for it all yourself, okay, then how much do you think is reasonable for you to be paying each, you know, half a year,
right?
Each semester, what's reasonable? Okay, I, you know, I think I can do, you know, maybe 3,000, 5,000, something like that. Okay, am I going to work full time?
Sure.
Can I, how long will it take me to basically make that much?
Absolutely.
You know, let me look at how much credits actually cost. Okay, if I work this much and I have this job and I, how much I make a month, okay, this is how much I'll have. Let me look at all my expenses in addition to just college.
Sure.
How many credits should I take, right? And then looking beyond there, talking to other people, obviously, in your life for advice on different aspects of, do I want to go full-time in college?
Sure.
Okay, I won't be able to pay for all of that with just the job I have.
Yeah.
Now, will it be a good opportunity or a good idea for me to supplement that?
Well, and you know, you bring up a good point about that because, like, my daughter, for example,
yeah,
she has an idea of a few things she wants to do, but she's not for sure yet.
Yeah.
And you know, I think for most 18-year-olds at this age, it's asking a lot for them to know exactly what they want to do for the rest of their lives. And so, you know, for what we've been coaching our daughter on has just been, you know, maybe it's just getting those prerequisites out of
there.
Getting the English 101, 102s, the general ed classes that you'll need at any college.
Yeah.
And, you know, finding ways to, you know, is it a full-time or is it part-time? You know, is a great way to approach if you're not sure where you're going to and what you want to do yet.
Yeah.
That maybe it's, like you said, slowing down just a little bit. And that's hard because, you know, we were talking a little bit before the podcast that the world seems to want to speed up in those years when really let's slow down and make some really smart, rational decisions on what we're going to do going forward.
Yeah. You don't need, you know, you don't need to jump right in, especially if you don't know 100% on where you're going with things. When you're taking classes, you could be like, okay, I'm interested in these certain things, right?
Sure.
Maybe I'm interested in biology or something like that. And you can focus on that specific prerequisite. Be like, let me take a biology class.
Right.
Because it'll, you know, count towards where I'm going there. But yeah, if you don't know exactly what you're doing, you shouldn't, don't feel pressure to be like, I need to go full on 16 credits,
right,
full go. Let me drop this amount of money on it. And just start going forward. It's okay to take one class, two classes, gives you the opportunity to work a lot more, work full-time, have a full-time job, and take two classes.
Sure.
That's very reasonable. You're not burning yourself out. And then you can actually use the money that you make from your job to actually pay for those.
Right.
And take that time to actually determine, do I like these things? Do I like the English class? Do I like the biology class? That'll give you an idea of whether or not you want to go into those fields.
As a student,
mm-hmm,
what are maybe some questions that I should be asking my financial aid officer or that loan officer when thinking about taking out funds for college?
I mean, first thing, interest rate. What the term is going to be, how much the monthly payment would end up being, and kind of getting a bigger picture of how much you're actually borrowing.
Yeah.
I think seeing everything on paper, as long as you're talking to someone that, you know, kind of has the best interest for you, that's the thing you also have to, like, understand. It's like if you're sitting with someone that maybe doesn't and they're just trying, you know, hopefully you're maybe working more with government loans or something like that, but you're hopefully talking to someone that has your best interest in mind. And so they're able to try to give you a real understanding of what you're getting yourself into, whether that's interest rate. When do you have to pay them back?
Yeah.
Right.
No,
when
doubt.
Does that start? A lot of them don't start till you're out of college.
Right. But that interest keeps building.
But the interest keeps building
on some of those, you know, the deferment payments and things like that. While it may be nice in the immediate, it can add up long term and put you potentially in a not so good spot when you're graduating college.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's the thing. It's like, let's say you have that. So obviously government loans are going to be the most beneficial, but not everyone can have those. But the biggest thing, especially if you get government loans, is educating yourself as much as possible what the options are for repayment.
They
do give a lot of options for those. When you graduate, though, they immediately are just like, here's the most expensive monthly payment.
Sure.
They're not gonna handhold you and be like, oh, here's all the lower payments, right?
Right.
You know, there's income-based options,
yeah.
A lot of them, and it makes them very reasonable.
And I've also heard that a lot of the government loans also have some, there are some programs that exist for, like, loan forgiveness,
yes,
as well,
yeah,
depending on fields that you're going into, mm-hmm, and some of the incentive, if you will, to help offset those costs. But again, to your point, I think it's really important for those that are listening, make sure you're checking those things before you're signing your name and saying yes to something. It's always important to run that through either your financial aid loan officer or honestly coming into an LMCU branch and just,
yeah,
asking some questions to us like, hey, this is what I'm being told. Is this something? And maybe there's ways that we can at least help educate you or help build a better budget, if you will, to help,
yeah,
cover or to at least consider what those costs are going to be. Because I think, you know, as we kind of get into the next part of the topic, budgeting is a huge component. I'm 39 years old, and I probably within the last 8 years have finally, like, understood,
yeah,
being better and being more disciplined and understanding why it's important to budget, why it's important to know where my money is going and all the rest. But it's not something as common for, you know, even like my daughter at almost 19, she hasn't had to do much in that.
Yeah.
So I think budgeting is often overlooked for a lot of students that are going into college. And kind of like what I was saying earlier, how, you know, at least like for my daughter and some of her friends, they're getting jobs kind of for the first time.
Yeah.
And so now you've got your own income.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably staying at home.
No expenses, really.
You've got no real big expenses, right? So it feels like I can go spend a lot.
Yeah.
I guess, what are some things that college students need to maybe consider when budgeting for their finances going into college?
Well, first thing is starting to really think about yourself and understand where you are and how you think about money. And the easiest thing, I think, for most people is just going into their transactions in their bank account, whether that's their app. If you, maybe you're more visual, you like paper.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
I love paper still.
Yeah.
But it depends on what you're looking at, right? Or how the individual wants to look at it. But going through a month,
yeah,
and seeing what are you spending money on, right? And that's the easiest way to really open your eyes of how many things you're spending money on you probably don't need to be spending money on.
No kidding.
Going out to eat, you know, buying a coffee every single day. There's a lot of, like, I've had times where I've looked at people's finances and they made plenty of money. And I'm like, and it's like, how did we get here, right?
Yeah.
And I've seen something as simple as they're door dashing 3 to 4 times a day. If they just simply drove to the location,
yeah,
instead for those three to four times a day, they would save probably half the money. Not even saying don't go out to eat.
No.
If they had just literally just drove there instead and not paid the $20 they charge for them to deliver it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's funny because, you know what I find fascinating is we're having this conversation around the college age,
yeah,
and that. But this is the same for what we, I mean, we've been talking about this on other budgeting podcast,
yeah,
episodes for adults as well. But
yeah,
truly it's the extra expenses,
yeah,
for takeout and this and that. I was talking about how, same thing. I used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
Get it delivered.
Yeah.
Why not? Until I started to really look close and I'm like, I'm almost spending the same amount just to get it delivered.
It adds up.
Get up out of my seat and go drive 5 minutes there, 5 minutes back, and I've saved so much more money that way.
I remember that specific. It saved them thousands of years.
Wow.
If they just did, because it was 3 to 4 times. They do breakfast, lunch, dinner, and it was two of them. So it was breakfast, lunch, dinner, and a lot of times they would each do a couple,
sure,
themselves.
So that kind of answers a little bit of the next question,
yeah,
I wanted to ask you, and I'd love to go further with it. But, you know, I think one of the question marks is, you know, you're still young. And,
yeah,
like we were saying, you don't have a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah.
If there's any time to kind of enjoy not having responsibilities,
yeah,
it's at this point. So, you know, to me, that seems like a very realistic way of not overspending.
Yeah.
while not restricting yourself too much either. Because I think for a lot of people, myself included, but especially I think younger students going into college, budgeting sounds like, oh, I have to be restrictive.
Yeah.
And that I can't have fun and I can't have Starbucks. And I think if you could kind of share a little bit more about, like, how can college students reframe maybe their thinking around budgeting doesn't have to necessarily be always restrictive.
Yeah.
How can you balance those?
Well, and you can see once you have all that in front of you and you're seeing, okay, this is what I'm spending every week on this or that, right? Be like, maybe I don't get Starbucks six times a week.
Right.
You know?
Right. Fair.
And you, but you can see how much you need to save, right? Be like, okay, I have these bills I have to pay, right? Let me see what I need to, what I actually have that I'm responsible for, what money is coming in, and then put that on paper, and then I can say, okay, here's all the things I love doing and I'm spending fun money on, extra money on, right? How much do I have to put that back a little bit to be able to hit those? And it might, it probably won't be as much as you'd think.
Yeah.
As I said, you do DoorDash one last time, you know, probably for one less day.
Sure.
Like for that specific example I was talking about, they just did no DoorDash for the entire day and didn't eat out the entire day.
Wow.
They'd save probably like $150.
Sure.
It's just like that.
That's amazing.
Right? And that's one day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you just look at what you're actually spending and see how much extra do I need to make sure I'm not going over.
For
you
sure.
know? That means you can still do a lot. You can still, you know, get Starbucks three times a week. You can still choose specific days you go out to eat. You know, a lot of people love doing the, like, okay, I eat at home during the week, and then, but then on Saturday and Sunday, I eat out.
Sure.
You know, stuff like that. It's just coming up with it, and you can still have a fun life
doing absolutely.
That. And so it's just finding out where are your restrictions, and what can you do and what can't you do when it comes to it, and what it might, and it's a lot of times a lot less restrictive than you think.
No kidding.
You know?
Absolutely.
Once you have a plan, then you're like, oh, there's a plan. This isn't as scary as I thought it'd be.
And I think to that point, what makes it more enjoyable is knowing where your money's going. And that's why, again, I think it's so crucial for that budgeting to actually happen is you got to know what goals you're going after. You got to be able to at least have an understanding of how your money's coming in and out so that when you do spend it, you can spend it not stressed wondering, am I going to be able to make my bill down the road? You know it's all taken care of. But this is actually another reason why LMCU has been all in technology here.
Yeah.
Right? Our new Wallet Wisdom Insights that are right built into our mobile app and also on online banking for all of our members, free. It's just that is helping change the game for so many people.
I've already had plenty of time. As someone that, like, I don't have to budget nearly as much as I did when I was younger. But already I'm like, I'm spending money on
that. I know. Like, I didn't realize that I went out to eat so much.
That's already kind of changed how I view it. Like, I'm like, that's a lot.
That's a lot more streaming services.
That's a lot
than
more than I thought I was spending on going out to eat every month.
Because, you know, and that kind of brings up a great point, even for college students.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the little expenses do add up.
It's,
you know, you're like $15 for this subscription, but you know, if it all came out as one lump sum, you might be more apt to be like, wait a minute, I don't think I need all these subscriptions.
Yeah.
But you know, it comes out on this day and then maybe a few days later a different one. So you never really see that total.
Yeah.
And that's where again these Wallet Wisdom insights built into our app is really changing the game. You can see all of that, you can really just take control and set goals like we're talking about to really establish some, you know, some footing in your financial future.
And that's what we talked about in general. Like that is a perfect example of like the first step is seeing it.
Yeah.
Like when you're not looking at it and then it's put right in front of you, you're like, oh,
absolutely.
Like all I need to do is a couple things and that cuts it like in half.
It's so true.
And so a lot of the first steps is literally just take it out, look at what you're spending and you'll realize, oh, I don't need to be spending money on this, 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 and this all the time. And
right.
I would be in a much better position. And that's what those things did for me immediately.
For sure.
I was like, I hadn't been, you know, because it's like, you know, once you're kind of more established, as I said, and this is the other thing aspect, especially when you're younger and you're going through college and you're starting your careers and you're not necessarily financially there yet, you're kind of starting that process, is, you know, it's not going to be for the rest of your life. It's going to be a lot of times you're going to be kind of changing throughout your life on how much you need to budget, how much you need to.
Sure.
And the biggest thing is just paying attention. Like always looking at your account, looking what's going in and out of it. Yeah. And yeah, you might not be needing to be as strict at a certain point in your life.
Sure.
And then other times you need it. So it's always a cycle, and you're always, you know, have to, the biggest thing is just paying attention.
Yeah.
And making sure you're paying attention to what's going in and out of your accounts and being responsible as you can and, you know, paying attention.
So what you're saying about responsibility is I shouldn't use my credit card to buy a bunch of books and other things and rack up my, you know, max on a credit card while I'm in college?
That would not be ideal.
Oh, okay.
So that would not be ideal. I wouldn't suggest that.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
No, I would agree. I would agree. But I think that can be an easy pitfall for a lot of college age students because it's usually on average, that's when credit cards are getting, you know, into wallets for the first time. And I'll tell you, when the first time I had a credit card and they said I had like $8,000 in the limit, I was like, I'm rich.
Yeah.
Until you really kind of remember, oh yeah, I have to pay that back. That's, and for every dollar I'm not, I'm getting interest.
Yeah.
And that creeps up and up and up.
Yeah.
Especially because, let's face it, a lot of times younger college age students, they don't have the credit like established yet. So they're probably going to have a higher interest rate on their credit cards. And there'll be some of those concerns. So highly unadvisable.
Yes.
If you can avoid using a credit card.
And that's what we talked about in general is like, there's not really anything there's no such thing really as free money.
Right.
Right. And making sure, I guess, there's a lot of companies that will just hand you a credit card.
Sure.
Be like, you put your name on something here, right? Obviously, luckily, LMCU does not do that.
Right.
Right. And so the biggest thing is finding institutions that will actually educate you on how to use them properly and use them as a tool.
Yeah.
And not as free money.
Yeah.
Because, you know, emergencies happen in life, right? But ideally, the credit card should be a tool to help you set up your credit for the future to be able to buy a home or a vehicle, something like that, not to be used to just have extra money.
And we hear it frequently enough that people, especially younger people that are trying to establish credit, they'll say, well, but then how am I supposed to establish credit? And, you know, what I would say is there are a lot of ways for you to do that. We have covered some of those on some past episodes as well, just kind of diving into those things as to, like, how do I build credit without necessarily putting myself in credit jeopardy?
Yeah.
You know? And so those are really great resources as well because we just don't have time to dive into all of that. But, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up, I do have just a couple of last questions. So how can tracking expenses help students prepare for life after graduation?
So, I mean, starting that early is you're going to be ahead of the game because there's so many people that when they're younger going through college, starting they don't budget. They don't even think about finances. They spend money as they have their bills pop up and they pay them.
Right.
You doing that early, you setting up, you know, starting credit, starting, you know, budgeting, starting thinking about your finances that young is going to set up you up for the rest of your life. When it comes to everything, when you maybe have your first child and get married, or when you get your first home or get your first, you know, vehicle, all of that will set you up for the rest of your life once you have actual substantial bills you have, right? You're focusing right now on just like, okay, I have to pay student loans and stuff like that. As they build up, once you're starting now it's going to just make it so it's just a part of your habits.
Sure.
Like, habits are the most like important things, as long as they're obviously positive, to kind of set you up for the rest of your life when it comes to, you know, dealing with your finances responsibly, so you're not overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You don't like wake up one day and you hadn't looked at your finances for months and months and months and now you're over that your head in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, so starting that young, starting anything positive young and getting used to it and educating yourself and learning about it is just going to make you ahead of the game.
For sure.
And especially nowadays, you know, once you're in your, you know, mid to late 20s and you're going through your career and going through all those things, you're going to be set up and you're going to be ready for it.
Definitely.
And that's the biggest thing.
I think that's great. And I because freshman college years, I mean, it's such a transformational time, those next couple years. you know, you're coming for, I'm thinking again about my daughter, you know, you're coming out of where your parents probably have taken care of a lot of the financial components in your life. You don't have to think about electric bill usually or cell phone bills maybe, but not usually, but a lot of the costs and financial components are usually been kind of handled for you.
Yeah.
My best advice too would be get outside of that. You know, if your mom or your dad is really like gung-ho to want to help you, take you to orientation and handle these things, that's great. Be a partner then with them.
Yeah. Right?
That's what I would say. Be a partner with them so that they're not just doing it for you, because I'll be honest, growing up, my mom probably helped me a lot more than I wish. Like, love her to death.
Yeah.
She was doing it to make sure that I was taken care of. But I didn't, because I didn't have that in my own and doing it myself, it didn't feel as, I didn't feel as connected.
Yeah.
I didn't learn as much. And I think there's something to be said about either doing it together and being a part of that process, or even just taking those early steps of saying, I want to start figuring this stuff out even for myself.
Yeah. Get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, expose yourself to things that can be uncomfortable, because that's most of life. In general,
it is
like the and the more comfortable you get with being uncomfortable,
that's
such a common phrase, but it's the reality with everything in your life.
It's true.
Something feels uncomfortable because it's, you know, it's scary a little bit, it's tough to do, the more you get comfortable just pushing yourself into those situations, the easier everything else will be going forward, because you'll get used to always being okay doing those things. And that comes down to exactly what you're saying. At that very young age when you're going into those things, it's like push yourself to get more comfortable with doing those uncomfortable things that you're used to having support with. And it's okay to still have some support.
Yeah.
But don't just stand back and let someone else handle it all.
Yeah.
It's like as you're stepping into those new realms, you're going to be, you know, at a much better advantage in the future if you're going to start stepping up with them,
right?
At the very least. And then sooner or later, you're going to start feeling comfortable to do everything yourself. So just keep trying to push yourself past that.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, and we didn't get a chance to really dive deep into this, but I do want to just make a quick mention or have us just briefly chat about, you know, you mentioned there really is no such thing as free money, right? And that's 100% right. However, I would also say there are some great programs like grants and scholarships that you may have already gotten through essays in high school or whatever. I know we have the Hutt scholarship that we do as well, but thinking about cost of books and supplies and all the rest, just thinking about, do they all have to be put on student, you know, aid, and how can you leverage some of these programs that exist? Yeah.
Those would be free money.
That would be free. I like that. I like free money where I can get it.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. So anytime you have opportunities for things like that, as I said, the Hutt Scholarship's a great one.
Sure.
But anytime you have the ability to put your hat in the ring to be able to get support, financial support, in other avenues, even if something is, small, getting $1,000 or something like that,
sure,
that pays for a semester or more of books.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of aspects of that. Finding ways to be able to make more and get more support in general beyond just, you know, going out and, you know, working in the field.
Well, last question for you. What is one small action students can take today to feel more in control of their money?
Well, first thing is start paying attention to it. You know, start looking at what you're doing. Start, you know, going through, you know, hopefully your LMCU app, you know, and looking at what you're, you know, doing every day, come up with a plan, realize that it's up to you on where you want to go in your life.
Yeah.
You don't have to necessarily focus primarily on, you know, everyone around you and what they're saying you should do or shouldn't do. But making sure you know, think through what you're doing in general, making sure you're getting educated on every single thing that you're coming in contact with, whether that's loans or what your choices are for schooling or anything like that. The first step is just kind of becoming knowledgeable about what you're doing.
Yeah,
so,
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Well, Brenton, thank you so much for being on the show. Yeah. Thank you for just what you do for LMCU. And if happen to be in the downtown Grand Rapids area, stop into his branch and say hi to him, that Medical Mile branch. But I'll tell you, if this is your first semester into college, I just want to say congratulations. Enjoy these moments. There's going to be so much fun in front of you. And while these financial things can be a little daunting, there are great resources right in your back pocket with LMCU and our branches, our mobile app, and all the rest. So we wish you best, and we hope to continue to have a conversation with you. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Brenton, for being on the show, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation as much as I did. If you've got questions or ideas for future podcast episodes, be sure to drop them in the comments below. Also, if you haven't already, consider subscribing and ringing that bell to stay up to date on future episodes on YouTube. You can also like and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you on the next one.